Perek Beit of Shayich of Amunah, the Alter Rebbe is continuing what we were learning last time. The Alter Rebbe brought down what's practical, what's relevant for the next part over here. That when the Pasuk says, Le'elam Hashem Dvarach Nitzav B'Shemayim, that forever Hashem, your words are standing in the heavens, it means that the words and the power that Hashem created the heaven with, when Hashem said, let there be a heaven, those powers, those words, those letters, the power of Hashem, is constantly within the heaven. Because if God's power would leave the heaven for a second, the heaven would become nothing as it was before it was created. In other words, like we learned, not like a pencil mark that you write it and erase it, but you can still tell something was there. It wouldn't exist as if it never existed. Then the Alter Rebbe explains, it's not only the heavens, but every object of creation, like the Arizal says, even daimim, even inanimate objects, like a stone, has a neshama. What does it mean, has a neshama? It doesn't have a life to it. It's not alive. But it has within it a power of Hashem keeping it existing. If Hashem's power would leave for a second from the stone would not exist. So he asks, but the word even, stone, is not mentioned in the creations of the 10 utterances. So how could it have a power of Hashem in it if the Torah doesn't say, Hashem said, let there be an Evan? So he answers, you're right, the word Evan itself doesn't say in the Torah, but through the numerical values and the acronyms and the various exchanging of letters, every creation that exists in the world is alluded to in the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with. And in that Sodom Maimardis you find every creation, and that is the source and the neshama of that creation. So basically, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, every physical thing in the world has a power of God in it, which is the name that it's called in Hebrew. So if this is a shulchan, in the letter Shin Vav Lamed Ches Nun, you have the power of God that keeps this table in existence. If Hashem's power would leave the table for a second, the table wouldn't be here. So that's what we're up to now. So he says, Perek Beis, meaning Mikan Tshuva Saminim, this is the Tshuva to the Apikursim, to the non-believers, V'gili Shedesh Ta'usam. And this is explaining the source of their mistake, HaKefirim Bashkocha Pratis, the people who denied divine providence, U'ba'esis U'meisim HaTeirah, and the wonders and miracles of Teirah. There are many people that believe there is no Hashkocha Pratis, there is no divine providence in the world. And as we learn more into this Perek, we'll discuss the various opinions of the Rambam and the Baal Shem Tov, but here, first get into the general concept of Hashkocha Pratis. The Alter Rebbe said, based on what we just explained, there is a clear-cut proof that there must be divine providence and every single creature that exists in the universe. Meaning divine providence, that Hashem is sustaining it and guiding it, as the Baal Shem Tov gave the analogy, that if a leaf is turning over in the wind from one side of the street to the next, you should know it just didn't happen to happen. Hashem is making it happen. Hashem wants it to happen, and it's part of the master plan of the entire universe, that at this moment, the sleeve should be turning over from here to there. And he says, why do people make a mistake? So he says, Shatayim b'dimyeinim ha'kezev, they make a mistake with their false, foolish illusions, Shemedamin ma'isa Hashem, that they liken the creation of Hashem, the action of Hashem, Eise shemayim va'oritz, that makes heaven and earth, l'ma'isa enish v'tachbulesev, to the actions of people. He says, the problem is that these people liken Hashem making the world to a carpenter building a table. And what do they say? That just like when the carpenter builds the table, the carpenter finishes building the table and goes home. So the same thing, they say Hashem made the world and he left. He doesn't have to be here anymore. He made the world and it's standing. And if it's standing, what does he have to be here for? Just like the carpenter builds the table, or the contractor builds the house, and he goes home, and hopefully the house stands. So the same thing they say, Hashem made the world and he left. Meaning that there is no divine providence in the world. The Alter Rebbe doesn't say it here, but in other places in Chassidus, It's explained at great length. Why do they say it? What do they care to say God is in the world? What do they have to say God has, you know, left the world? Because they maintain that, and they base it on Psukim and Chumash, in Tanakh. They say God is exalted, God is only in the heavens. Why? Because they say, for God to be involved in earthly, low garbage is degrading God. You don't find the king rummaging in the trash bin, in the garbage. It's below God's dignity, they say, to deal with the world. So God is the president sitting on high, and he lets the world run by managers. Who are the managers? The constellations and the sun and the moon. These are all God's puppets. But Hashem has nothing to do with the earth. That's what they maintain. And they do it because of the mistake originates, so to speak, from a source of Kedusha. They say, how can you say, to degrade Hashem to such an extent, to say that Hashem deals with the world? It's degrading Hashem. You can't say such a thing. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, though, this is their mistake. Because heaven is not any closer to God than earth is. And the highest levels are not any closer to God than garbage is, and garbage is not any further from God than heaven, than the heavenly worlds are. And by learning, look at me. by understanding what we're learning here, we will understand the whole concept. And let's see it inside. Ki kasha yotze letzedef keli, when a person makes a dish, a vessel, shuv ein keli tzarech li dehatzedef, it doesn't need any more the hands of the maker of it. Like we said, the carpenter builds the table, he goes home, and the table is there. Ki av sheyodov mesulokas heimenu, even though his hands left the table, v'heilech le b'shuk, and he goes into the street, ha-keli kayim b'tavnisei v'tzal memamish, the keli, the vessel, remains in its original shape and form, kashe yotze midei hatzedev, just like it was when the carpenter made it. The silversmith takes a piece of silver, and he makes it into a kiddush cup, he makes the kiddush cup, and he finishes the kiddush cup, and he goes home, and the kiddush cup is the same way. So what do these people say? That's exactly what Hashem did. Hashem made the heaven and earth, and then he left. So he says, Kach medamu masichlim mo'elu, so these fools liken ma'ase shemayim va'ores, that God made the heaven and earth the same way. He made the world, and he went home. And he left it. And the world is standing by itself. So the Alter Rebbe explains what's wrong with this. Why is this mamish apikorsis? And he calls them minim, meaning apikorsim. Achtoch merei seineham. Their eyes were blinded from seeing. A hevdel agodl, the big difference. Shebein maise enish v'tachboleise, which is between a person's actions and his doings, which is yesh miyesh, making something from something. He only changes the form. And let me explain this outside. When a carpenter takes a piece of wood and makes it into a table, all the carpenter is doing is changing the shape of the wood. The wood is there. The substance is there. Until now, it was a big blob of wood, and now he made it into a circular table. He made it into a round table. All the carpenter did was take something and change its form into something different. So of course he doesn't have to be there because he didn't do anything. When Hashem made heaven and earth, Hashem didn't make it what's called yesh miyesh, something from something, as he's going to explain, but I'll first explain it outside. Hashem made what's called yesh miayin, something from nothing. And the Alter Rebbe gives the analogy as follows. By Kriyas Yamsuf, when Hashem split the sea, it says in the Pasuk that Hashem brought an eastern wind, and he made the water stand up like a wall, and therefore there was dry land, and the Jews went through the dry land. Then the Pasuk says Hashem took away the eastern wind, and the water went back to its original nature. What does it mean over there? To give a modern day examples that we can understand better, or even with the water. If you have a river and you put a dam in the river to hold back the water, okay? Now, because of the dam, the water is not going to keep flowing, it's going to stand up as a wall. It's going to stop. You can have a dam in the water for 100 years, 1,000 years. The second that you take away the wall, the second you take away the dam, the water goes back to its original flow. You would never be able to tell there was ever a dam in the water for 100 or 1,000 years. The water goes back to its original nature as if the dam was never there. Another mushel that we understand very practically, if you take a ball and you throw a ball up into the air, so the ball will go in up for as much power as you put into the ball. The second your power is over, is gone, the power is finished, the ball will come back down to earth as if it never left earth. Why? Why is that? Because when you go against the nature of something, you need a power constantly in it to stop it. The nature of water is to flow. Water moves. If you want water to stop, you need to have a wall in there constantly. You can't make a dam, have the water stop, and take away the wall, and the water is going to still stand. It won't. Why? Because the nature of water is to flow. And if you want to go against the nature of water, you must have a constant force within it to keep it against the nature. If the nature of a ball, because of gravity, let's say, is to be on earth, if you want to get the ball out of earth, away from earth, you need a constant power in it. The second the power is over, it goes back to its original nature. When Hashem made heaven and earth, Hashem didn't take something like wood and make it into a table. That he took something and just changed the form. What Hashem did was, he took nothing and made nothing into something. Which means, the nature of the world is to be nothing. Because that's its original nature. To make nothing into something, you need a constant force keeping it something. And Alter Rebbe adds even another point. By the water, the fact that water flows, Hashem made that as the nature of water. Water itself doesn't have to flow. The reason water flows is because Hashem made water flow. So all Hashem does by water, let's say, is change from nature A to nature B. That's not such a big change. To change from one nature to another nature is not such a big change. And yet, there has to be a constant force of Hashem keeping the water flowing. I mean, blocked. The second the dam is taken away, the water goes back to its original nature. By Hashem, before he created the world was nothing. There was no nature even of the world. There was nothing. So the world is essentially nothing. To make nothing into something, not something into something, to make nothing into not in something, you must have a constant force keeping it something. Because if the force will leave, it will become nothing. And if water, which is only changing from nature one to nature two, you need a power, how much more so by heaven and earth do you need a power? So he says these people are blind to see the difference between a carpenter making a table, a silversmith making a becher, or Hashem making heaven and earth. And there's a basic difference. And if the dam is needed there the whole time to keep the water standing, and if you take away the dam, it will never be able to tell that there was a dam in the water. So how much more so when Hashem made the earth? If there's no power of Hashem keeping it going, the world will not be. every object in the world must be with the power of Hashem. If Hashem's power leaves, it's kaput. This point is a very important point in dealing with people. Just to bring it down on a very practical level, the Alter Rebbe in Igeres HaKodesh Siman, in Siman Chafei, the Alter Rebbe explains this concept to understand as follows. If Hashem's power is in the world, keeping it existing, and if Hashem's power would leave, it wouldn't be. So therefore, the existence of this book is because Hashem's power is in it. If the book moves, it's because Hashem's power allowed it to move. Because Hashem's power is in everything. Which means, if somebody smacks you in the face, you're not allowed to get angry. I'm speaking smacking in the face, figuratively, literally, any way you want. If somebody smacks you in the face, you can't get angry at the person. Why not? The guy's hand is existing because Hashem's power is in it. The power that he moved his hand to smack you, that power is God. If there's no power of Hashem in it, he couldn't move it. So who is letting the hand move to be smacked? Hashem is making it happen. So therefore you cannot get angry at the person because Hashem wanted it to happen. Because Hashem didn't want it to happen, it couldn't happen. Because Hashem's making the power move your hand. Yeah, that's between him and God, not between him and you. There's a possibility, you hate what they did. I'm not getting into the Holocaust, but let me ask you one simple question. Whether we understand it or don't understand it, whether we have a right to scream at God or not scream at God, it's totally irrelevant at the present. But one thing, did Hashem allow it to happen? I hope so. If not, it wouldn't have happened. It couldn't happen if Hashem didn't allow it to happen.
It could have been a less horrific
way. Yeah, but God wanted it this way. And this is the way it happened. And why this particular Jew was killed and this particular Jew was saved is not random choicing because the Nazis were going, okay, you go here, there. It's because this person Hashem wanted, and this person Hashem didn't want. Who made Yimach Shemom V'Zichrom, the Nazi move, you know, they used to go, you go here, whatever it was, yeah? So, who made his hand, who gave his hand the ability to say here, there? Not Hashem. It's Hashem. We don't understand it, in our eyes it seems to be cruel, and that's, you know, so be angry at God, see if he cares. Again, we went through this a million times, or it'll go through a million one times. If some, huh? I hope he cares. If you get angry at him, you mean if you get angry at him? I don't know if he cares too much. If you have a bar mitzvah kid, you would know, because all the mothers know the bar mitzvah maimer. When the bar mitzvah maimer, he quotes over there, the Gemara, meaning, if you sin, you think God cares. If you do something wrong, you think he gets angry. You know, from one side, there's a level of alakus that he couldn't care less what you do. Because he needs entertainment. He's bored. What would Hashem do a whole day if we wouldn't be here? Like this, Hashem is busy making shidduchim. Hashem is busy judging people. Hashem is busy doing things. Hashem would have a very boring life if we wouldn't be here. So Hashem needed a night activity. Yeah. So therefore, based on what we're learning, one minute. If somebody, let's do it a more practical way. If somebody insults you, or somebody smacks you, bottom line, if you believe in what we're learning here, Hashem wanted you to get smacked. Hashem wanted you to be insulted. What the person did, that's only between him and God. between him and God, he had free choice to hit you or not to hit you. And he chose to do against the Torah says, don't hit, and he decided to hit you. Or the Torah says, don't embarrass somebody, and he chose to go against the Torah and embarrassed you. That's between him and God. The fact that you got hit, the fact that you were insulted, has nothing to do with the guy that did it. Hashem wanted you to be insulted. Hashem wanted you to be hit. So you got hit. I, the person, did an aveda. That's not between him and you. That's between him and God. How do we know Hashem wants you to get hit? It's a very simple thing. Because the fact that his hand existed, and with the power that he has in his hand, he moved it to hit you. Who gave him that ability to do it? No, the Yetzer Hara made him choose to go against the Torah. But who allowed him to go against the Torah? A person eats chazer. When a person eats chazer, who gives us the ability to chew? Hashem gives us the ability to chew. Every time we chew, Hashem is, moving the mouth. Because there's divine providence, there's an existence of Hashem in everything. If Hashem's presence would leave, if Hashem's power would leave, your mouth wouldn't be. So the fact that you have a mouth and the mouth is able to chew, that's God's power in it. So now the question is, you're eating chazer, and the Torah says don't eat chazer, so Hashem should have made it like a lock. A blockage. That if you put chazer into your mouth, your mouth's not going to work. But Hashem didn't do that. Hashem made that you could eat chazer, and Hashem is making you eat the chazer. He's allowing you to eat the chazer. A little louder. I'm aging. My hearing is not as good as it used to be. Yeah. Right. How is testing going to be? First of all, who said we'll be tested? But even if yeah.
But if we're not tested, what's the whole point?
But that's already the schar. Mashiach's coming is the end. It's the reward. But you have the same question now. The same question is, tzaddikim have yetzer hara? Hello?
Yeah.
Do tzaddikim have yetzer hara? They killed it.
No.
No, if they have a yetzer hara, they're not a tzaddik. Tzaddik Shein Gomer killed the yetzer hara. He didn't transform it to good. But a tzaddik gomor has a yetzer hara? No. How's he tested? Yeah. He has no desire to sin. How does he test it? So Chassidus explained very simple. By a tzaddik, the testing is not between good and bad. The testing is between good and better. And if a tzaddik does good instead of better, he sinned on his level. He didn't do an aveda, he didn't eat chazer. He didn't steal. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't swear falsely, go through that seres adibris. But what is it? One second. The tzaddik's test is between good and better. And if a tzaddik does good instead of better, he sinned.
So if he sinned, he's not a tzaddik anymore.
But that's not a sin that we're talking about sins.
Why not?
It is learning 10 hours a day a sin? But he could have learned better. So therefore the 10 hours is a sin. Sin is a lacking of what you should be. And his level, but it's not from the Yetzer Hara. It's not a test of hitting somebody or killing somebody or doing any one of the 613 Avedas, mitzvahs. It's a concept of testing within good itself. But he doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. A tzaddik doesn't have a desire to eat McDonald's cheeseburgers. I don't know who does, but he definitely doesn't have a desire. Maybe Burger King, but not McDonald's. What? Because a tzaddik has to always improve on a higher level. Relatively speaking, a lower level of the Nefesh HaLikis compared to a higher level of the Nefesh HaLikis is a Yetzer Hara. But it's a very refined level of evil. No, it's not. On his level, it's considered evil, correct. But it's not evil. He's not going against the Torah. He's not doing anything Hashem told him not to do. The Hashgacha brought this at... Who says? Because the world needed him. So they told him, if you're not, your mission is, you're not accomplishing your mission, we're going to take your neshama back up to heaven. His neshama came down to reveal godliness in the world, to wake him up from the sleep. But I don't know, maybe it says so, I don't know, I've never seen anywhere it says a tzaddik nista has to come into the world again to become a revealed tzaddik. I don't know. Tzaddikim have to come back a lot of times, but not because they were hidden and then become revealed. Tzaddikim sometimes didn't complete a certain mission, or sometimes, like Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama, that comes back in every generation, is because the world needs such a neshama. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is missing something. Yeah, every generation has a Moshe Rabbeinu. What?
So why is it that Hashem gives us the ability to stay away from things that are not good for us? Like, let's say a child touches a hot kettle. They know eventually not to touch it, and they know it's not good for them. So why is it the same thing with the neshama? Why is it that we don't have something that tells us
that when you eat chazer, you're going to get such a terrible stomach ache, you'll never do it again?
Well, or that it's so bad for your neshama, just like you know that most people are careful, they wouldn't go out of their way to hurt themselves physically. Why doesn't Hashem do the same
thing
in a Shemitic way?
Hashem does. The Gemara says, Chassidus quotes this Gemara, but also Yetzahara, Hashem says, I created the Yetzahara, but also Le'Teira Tavlin, I created Teira as the spice to undo and equally balance out the Yetzahara. Meaning, if a person would speak Yetzahara, if a person would speak Lashon Hara, right? And all of a sudden the mouth would clamp up and Hashem would seal the mouth. So that, do we have free choice not to speak Lashon Hara anymore?
I understand that, but why is it on a physical level that Hashem does that for us, though? He gives us like a present. In other words, Chas v'Shalom, if someone gets burnt, they don't have to have their finger completely burnt until they know that it's burning. They can know right away to stay away. So why doesn't Hashem do the same thing for us?
Because then it would be very easy.
Or does Hashem do it the same thing?
Not really, because then it would be very easy.
So why is it that Hashem wants, on a physical level, that we should protect ourselves, so to speak, but on a spiritual level, it's left up to us in a certain way?
Because that...
You have no choice on a physical level. In other words, a person can't even touch something hot. They automatically move away from something.
Right. But the neshama jumps away. The body doesn't let it. That's why the Gemara says a person only sins because they get a ruach shtus. They get a foolish spirit. The Gemara says an animal that jumps into a fire is called a meshugana animal. It's called a crazy animal. Because even an animal, even though it doesn't have seichel to understand all women, they run completely on instinct. Nevertheless, they have enough seichel to understand that they're going to get burnt. And the reason why a person would go into a fire is because they're a shaita, they're fool. What's called in today's world temporary insanity. So the Gemara says, really, every Aveda Jew does is temporary insanity. The difference is, in God's court, you don't get off because of it. In secular court, for temporary insanity, you get off. And God says, in my court, you don't get off for temporary insanity.
So is the point then, if a person practices doing the right thing over and over again,
they'll do it right.
Then it should become natural to
correct.
This person.
Correct. Why Hashem made the Satan? What do you mean Hashem listens to it?